This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So we want to welcome everybody to part two of the Friday Shir, the segment on Tefillah. The Tefillah series is sponsored by a friend in Los Angeles, Rabbi Tzahar Rose, Le'ilei Nishmas, Tzvi Ben Levi Yitzchak, Neshama Shehaven Aliyah. We're continuing in Hoidu. We learned and mentioned many times that Hoidu was commissioned by King David, and he hired Asaf to write a psalm, which was sung in the Beis HaMikdash every single morning, and then every evening. Part of it was sung by the Tamid Shel Shachar, part of it by the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. From Hoidu until Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash was by the Tamid Shel Shachar. From Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash until Roimamu was the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. I'm personally bothered who decided to that the Chazan should say, Ki Kol Elokeu Amim Elilim V'Hashem Shamayim Asa. Why would you say that out loud? If anything, you should say out loud the end of what is said by the Tamid Shel Shachar. In other words, I can understand. You say, Haydu Lashem Ki Tov, Haydu Lashem Kiru Vishmai, Haydu Va'amim Ali Loisav. And then the Chazan should conclude, Al Tigu B'Mashichayuv and Ve'ay Al Tareyu. That's the end of the first segment. And if he wants to say out loud, Shiru Lashem Kalas Basim Yom Yom Yeshua Sai, that's the beginning of the second segment. Who decided Ki Kalai Ke Amim Ali Lim? Vashem Shemayim Asa, to say that out loud, maybe because since you're supposed to pause there, that's sort of a reminder to people to pause in the middle of that sentence, but I don't have a good answer to that. That's a tefillah imponderable. But now we're going to focus on the main body of the psalm that was sang every single morning in the Beis HaMikdash about the Tamid Shel Shachar. And it begins, Davar Tziva La'elef Dar, the matter that was commanded in the 1,000th generation. Now what does that mean, Davar Tziva La'elef Dar? Because Hoidu begins, give thanks to Hashem, Kiru Vishmai, Hoidu Va'amim Ali Loisav, Shirulai, Zamrulai. We mentioned there are 12 different commands, and the commands are offered and issued to Bnei Yaakov Bechirav, the 12 Shvatim. And last week we learned about the statement that Hashem is our a special God. In other words, everything He does in the world is for Klal Yisrael. And this matter, if we look at Maramaka number 2, was something that was commanded in the 1,000th generation. What does it mean, something that was commanded in the 1,000th generation? Says Rashi. Rashi in Divrei Hayamim, because after all, Hoidu is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. Rashi says, HaToyra Asher Tziva Lohidia, the Torah that was commanded to be taught ba'olam in the world, la'achar elef dar, it was supposed to be given after the 1,000th generation. The hever v'roshin olam eskayim b'loy Torah. But God saw that there's no world, that no way the world could exist without Torah. The hever mehem teisha meos v'shim arba doras. He removed 974 generations, and he gave it instead in the 26th generation. Or, in other words, the first pshat is, God commanded the Torah. It was supposed to be given in the 1,000th generation, but it didn't, because the world could not exist that way. However, Rashi brings the simple pshat, that it could be interpreted, kepshutai, zachar li Yisrael, as brisai. Hashem remembers His covenant to Israel. Asher tziva v'vtiach, that He commanded and promised, lishmar lahem, to preserve, le'elef dar. What if for 1,000 generations? In other words, God is committed to us to for 1,000 generations to reward us for our mitzvahs. Now, very interestingly, we say, asher karas es Avraham, with Avraham it was a sealed covenant. With Yitzchak, ushvuasoy li Yitzchak. With Yitzchak, it's a oath. Vayamidel Yaakov lechoik. For Yaakov, it's a statute. Li Yisrael bris olam. For Yisrael, it's an everlasting bris. So this deal is fluid. It changes. It goes from a covenant, to an oath, to a statute, to an everlasting bris. Says the Malbim, why Asher Kasad Amashosa Yitzchak? The answer is, God made a covenant with Avraham, but he repeated it to Yitzchak. And we know when God repeats something, it has a status of a shvua. So when it says shvua, so Yitzchak is, since God repeated it, it was elevated to the status of a shvua. Then vayamideha, to Yaakov, he established it as a choik and a law, meaning something that has to be fulfilled, not because he promised, but because it's a fact of life. Now we still don't know what this is a deal about, but we're learning that first God sealed the deal with Avraham, he repeated it to Yitzchak, which makes it an oath, and then when it came to Yaakov, it was almost as if this has to be done, not because I said or promised, but it's a choik, it's a law of life. And then Yisrael, which is an even higher madrega than Yaakov, it became a bris olam. What does that mean, a bris olam? It doesn't mean everlasting. It means the whole world is dependent on it. That means, ki be'ez hisala Yisrael, shiyeh lemala min ha-teva, k'may sheyoyra alzeh shem Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael were elevated to be above and beyond teva, as the name Israel indicates, hukam bris hazeh al seder ha-hanhaga ashniya. That means, this bris was established to be fulfilled alpi the derech of hashgacha, above and beyond bris of this world. Meaning that God made that what he's going to do for us, the whole world is hinged on it. The whole existence of creation is hinged on it. That this world, the olam, depends on God fulfilling what he said he's going to do for us, which we still don't know what that is. And as we're going to see, you know what this bris is? That God made a deal with Avraham, elevated it to an oath to Yitzchak, established it as a fact of life to Yaakov, rendered it something that the whole world is dependent on for Klal Yisrael. The deal is, Leimar lecha etein eretz Kanaan, that the whole world is dependent on God giving us the land of Canaan. Okay. We're going to take a 30-second break for a word from our sponsors. Just give me 1 second. Okay, I'm back with you. And so this segment that is sung every single day in the Beis HaMikdash was expressing gratitude for what the Ribbono Shel Olam did for us in our past of committing the land of Israel to the Jewish people. He made a deal with Abraham, he repeated it and it became an oath to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov it became a part of a fact of life, and to when Klal Yisrael reached a higher Madrega, the existence of the world was dependent on it. Now, why is it called Eretz Kena'an over here? Why is it not called Eretz Yisrael? Or Bechlal, why in Tanakh is it sometimes referred to as Eretz Kena'an? I mean, we don't refer to Israel as Palestine, so why would we refer to it as Kena'an? Like in the 30s and 40s, Jews were called Palestinians, but, you know, we don't call it that anymore. So why would we call it Kena'an? So it's a very interesting approach by the author of the Merkeves HaMishnah, Rav Shlomo Mechalma, and he's going on the Haftarah of Parsha Shemois, Haba'im Yashresh Ya'akov, Yatzitzu Farach Yisrael, Umalu Pnei Tevel Tenuva. He says, this could be explained based on the Medrash, Parshas Vayeshev, in the name of the Sefer Tuv Ha'aretz and the Zohar. Eretz Yisrael in its state of sanctity is called Eretz Yisrael, and its state of impurity is called Canaan. Klal Yisrael is also sometimes called Yisrael and sometimes called Yaakov. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're called Yisrael. When we're in Chutz La'aretz, were called Yaakov. This is the meaning. Ve'ele shemois b'nei Yisrael haba Mitzrayma. These are the names of the sons of Israel that are coming to Mitzrayim. Meaning when they're coming from Eretz Yisrael, they're still Yisrael. Es Yaakov ishu b'esoy bo'u. Once they got to Mitzrayim, they're called Yaakov. This is the meaning of the what it says in Tehillim. Vayovo Yisrael Mitzrayim v'Yaakov gar be'eretz cham. Yisrael came, because so long as he's coming, he's in Israel, he's called Yisrael. Once he gets there, he's called Yaakov. So two things. The state of Eretz Yisrael b'kedusha is Eretz Yisrael. The state of Eretz Yisrael b'tumah is Canaan. Klal Yisrael is called Yisrael in the land. They're called Yaakov out of the land. Says the Merkabas HaMishnah, Yisrael is a reference to Klal Yisrael with the Shechina. Yaakov is not on such a high madrega. Now we know, the Shechina does not reside on less than 600,000 Jews. Says in Merkabas HaMishnah, with this we could explain the psukim in Tehillim and Adivrei Hayamim of what we're about to say in Hoidu. We say, God promised Eretz Canaan, Lemar Lecha Etein Eretz Canaan, Chevel Nachalaschem. God promised us the land of Canaan. And B'yoyschem Misei Mispar Kimad V'goremba. The Pasuk is bothered. Why are we calling it Eretz Canaan? Why are we not calling it Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, B'yoyschem Misei Mispar, because we're few in number, they weren't 600,000 Jews, therefore, it's called Eretz Canaan. Namely, we know that Yaakov is the Madrig of Klal Yisrael when we don't have the Shechina. Yisrael is with the Shechina. So, Eretz Yisrael is a reference to the land with the Ribbono Shel'Olam's presence. So because we were so few, B'yoyschem, the same mispar, therefore the land is called Eretz Canaan. Now I want to share with you two very mystical perushim in these words from the Vilna Gaon. The Gra says in his commentary to Divrei Hayomim, L'cha etin Eretz Canaan, who's L'cha? Lamar to say l'cha, to you. Amar l'cha, haynu sha'eretz yisrael nitnu la'avraham. L'cha etein eretz kanan. Chevel nachalaschem. L'cha refers to Abraham. But the nachala, which is Yushalayim in the Harabais and the Mikdash, it was not given to any individual. Yushalayim was given to Abraham, Harabayis to Yitzchak, the Beis HaMikdash to Yaakov, and that's why it says Chevel Nachalaschem. Eretz Yisrael was given to Abraham. The Nachala, it was divided. Yushalayim to Abraham, Harabayis to Yitzchak, Beis HaMikdash to Yaakov, and that's why it says Lecha Lashon Yachid for Eretz Yisrael. The Nachalaschem, which is Lashon Rabim, that refers to the Chevel, and that refers to Yerushalayim, the Harabais, and the Makam HaMikdash. And then the Gra says something very interesting. We know we have four legs of the Merkava. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. And connected these four great people, we were given four gifts. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, there are two parts. Machane Shechina, Machane Leviya. Says the Gra, B'schus ha'avayis, Hashem gave us the Mikdash and Yushalayim. Eretz Yisrael, Keneged David. This is what it means. Asher karas es Avraham, v'shvasa li Yitzchak, v'amideh li Yaakov v'choik, uli Yisrael l'bris ha'ilam. These all four. Yisrael refers to David ha'melech. He's the king over Yisrael. David melech Yisrael. Leimar l'cha etin eretz Canaan. So it's like this. Asher karsis Avraham, Ushuasa li Yitzchak, Yamdel li Yagel, Chag di Yisrael b'salam, Leimar l'cha etein es Eretz Canaan. That's David. The Chevel, which is the base HaMikdash, and it's called a Chevel, because it has three parts, because it comes from the Avos. So in other words, the base HaMikdash and Yerushalayim is a Chevel, because it's B'schus Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now let's see the comments of the Eitz Yosef. Very interesting Perush. Again, this is sung every morning by the Tamid Shel Shachar in appreciation for Ribbono Shel Olam giving us Eretz Yisrael. And we mentioned B'yoyischa Mesei Mispar. God gave us Israel when we were very few in number. Oz Nishma Los Islam Eretz Canaan. That's when God swore to give them Canaan, when we were very few in number. This is a very important thing. Don't say the reason why we took Israel is because we were great in number. We were very few in number in the times of Abraham. Don't say, well, at least there was some type of number of Jews who took hold of Israel. No, it was, we were basically not even there. We were so few. Kimat v'garimba. Don't say, well, we had a very strong settlement and a claim to the land. No, when God gave it to us, we were sojourners there. V'yisem ba'kagerim ba'aretz. And we didn't even have one set place that we went in Israel. In other words, don't think that, oh, big deal, God gave us Israel. That's where we were living, and we had so many people living there, and they had ancestral homes there. There were hardly any Jews there. And their number was so small. And we didn't have any claim anywhere. And we were on the move. And not only that, not only from one place to another under one sovereignty, we moved from one king to the other. And even so, God didn't let anyone oppress us. Like when the Mitzrim saw Sarah, and they were, the Avram said, they're going to kill me and take you. God did not let anyone hurt us. Not only didn't God let anyone hurt us, God spoke to all the oppressors, even though they were Rishonim and they didn't deserve to divine communication, God rebuked them. Paroi, Avimelech, by Avram and Yitzchak. They were kings. God rebuked them. God rebuked Lavan. Lavan was also a melech, like Chazal say, Kushan Rishasayim, Melech Aram Naharayim. God spoke to kings on our account. Paroi, Avimelech, Lavan. God took care of us. He spoke to wicked people. He, you know what he told them? Al tigu b'mashichai. Don't touch my anointed ones. Who are the anointed ones? The Avos were great. They were princes, like kings. Meshuchin. Avraham Avinu was a king. Nesi elekimata b'secheinu. That the Medrash says, all the Umay Sa'olam got together, they cut down cedar trees, they made a big platform, they put Avram on it, and they praised him, and they say, you be the king. Yitzchak was a melech, like we find in the Seder HaDoyreis. Yaakov was a melech. Yehuda said to Yosef, just like Paro is a melech, and you're second to him, Dad is a melech. God said to these kings, Uvenevi'ai al tareyu, al tigu b'mashichai, don't touch my anointed ones, don't harm my prophetesses, my prophets. You know who this refers to? The Imahois, Elohi Imahois. Says the Eitz Yosef, Ad kan hoyu oimrim b'tamid shel shachar. This is the end of the song they sang in the Tamid Shel Shachar, Al Tigu B'Mashichai Uvenevi'ai Al Tareo. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh learns out a very important hashkafa from these words, Al Tigu B'Mashichai Uvenevi'ai Al Tareo. Rabbi Nosson said to his, asked Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina one day, did Eliyahu Hanavi have a son or not? That's what Rav Nosson asked Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, what are you asking me such a question? The pasuk says, Al tigu b'mashichai uvenvi'ai al tareu, mai al tiru, al tasu atzmichem reyim v'chaverim l'nevi'ai. Don't make yourself a friend of the great people. God selected them, separated them for His service, brought them in His Heichal. Kavachoymer, someone who's an angel, don't ask if Elio had a son. This is a very interesting Zohar and a very important Zohar. The Zohar is saying, don't talk about the Gedolei Yisrael as if they were your friend. Oh, where does this Gadol buy his cholent beans? Who's the machatenister of this Gadol? Where did this Gadol? You don't, they're not your friends. You're not allowed to discuss them. Not to say anything good, bad, you're not allowed to talk about them. The leaders of the Jewish people are divinely designated to be the Ovdei Hashem, and you don't talk about them like you talk about your friends. This is not about speaking Lashon Hara. You don't speculate about them. They're not a topic of conversation like you talk about them like you talk about other people. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva in the Rav Pa'alim, Chelek Gimel. Somebody asked him, did the Rashash have Gilu Eliyahu? You want to know my speculation about this? Says the Ben Ish Chai, you have to know there's a warning, an admonition from the Zayar, Al Tigu B'Meshichai U'Vinviyai Al Tareyu. We're not allowed to talk about great people based on speculative theory. You can't speculate about someone like the Rashash. All I could tell you is one matter about Gilui Eliyahu. For a person to speak to Gilui to Eliyahu, panim b'panim, like that Rizal said, that's very difficult. Even in the early generations, certainly in our generations. But you could believe that he had Gilio Eliyahu in his Seichel through something called Hislabshus, through the Nitzotz of Eliyahu. But the point is, the Hashkafa is, Al Tigu b'meshichai uvin v'yai al tareyu, the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rabbanim, they're not our friends. We don't discuss them, we don't talk about them. Oh, you know, I saw Rabbi Minchas Pinchas, and he was buying jelly beans for his grandchildren, and he bought pink jelly. You don't talk about them. You're not allowed to talk about them. They have to be on a different plane in our mind. They, even though certainly whatever they accomplish is their own good free will, but there's an idea, the leaders of the Jewish people are divine servants, and they are untouchable. Okay. I want to share with you the comments of Rav Shimon Schwab and Rav Miller, and I'm going to wish you good Shabbos. That means every single morning in the temple, they would thank Hashem for past benefits, namely for giving us the land of Israel, and for committing to the Avos HaKadoshim through a covenant, through a shvua, for guarding them and protecting them. However, when we talk about Eretz Yisrael, Rav Schwab says we are not talking about the state of Israel, we're talking about the land of Israel. And there's a big difference between the two. Says Rav Schwab, the state of Israel, we have no guarantees about. God never promised us that there would be a state of Israel. We're happy to have it, but it doesn't mean it has to exist. That is not the covenant that God made to our forefathers. There could be an enemy. And there were. Nebuchadnezzar came and he exiled us. Oh, what happened to the state of Israel? The answer is, God never promised anything to us about the state of Israel. You'll ask, what happened to the eternal covenant? God, Asher Karas is Avraham, Ushvosa Li Yitzchak. Nebuchadnezzar proved there's no covenant. No, he didn't. God never made a covenant that there's going to be Jewish sovereignty in Israel forever. No, now there is, and we hope there will be until Mashiach comes, but there are no guarantees. I heard the same thing in the name of Rabbi David Feinstein. There are no guarantees about what is called Medinas Yisrael. Throughout history, we barely had sovereignty. It's only now in our century. We had it for the first time in 2,000 years. The Greeks had it, the Persians had it, the Babylonians had it, the Ottoman Empire had it, the British Mandate had it. The Romans had it. But God promised Abraham the land of Israel. It's our land. What does that mean? It is a holy land. Yerushalayim is an Ir HaKodesh. Yerushalayim is the makam where all tefillah goes up. If you plant something in Israel, every granule of soil has Kedusha, and therefore you have to be Mafrish, Chumas, and Maestros. That is eternal, that is everlasting. Whenever a Jew steps foot in Israel, whether today, in the state of Israel, whether 100 years ago in Palestine, whether it was under the Ottoman Empire, whether in the British Mandate, whether it was under the Babylonian rule. If you take four steps in Eretz Yisrael, you have a share in the world to come. It is always our land, not our sovereignty. Therefore, David HaMelech says, Hoidu LaHashem, Kiru Bishmai. You need to proclaim this. Hoidiu Ba'amim Ali Loisav. You need to proclaim that God swore that's our land. Now you need to get up in the United Nations, and you need to get up in the U.S. Senate, and you need to proclaim for the whole world, the land of Israel is our land. Now today, nobody's going to pay any attention to you. Nobody cares what we have to say. Because mibnei chataeinu golinu me'artzeinu, we cannot get up and say that it is our land, but at least we need to understand ourselves and speak to our own people that the Eretz has a bris to Avraham, a choik to Yisrael, that it will always be Eretz Chemda Tavrachava. And what is the ramification of that? You cannot say a bad word about the land. You cannot say, oh, it's so hot in this city in Israel. It's so uncomfortable. Are you allowed to talk about what some segments of Jews did that was harmful to the spiritual welfare of the Jewish people? You're allowed to say that. But you're not allowed to talk about the land. The land itself is untouchable. Another thought from Reb Schwab. The Gemara in Shabbos darshins something else from this pasuk. Al tigu b'mashichai uvin v'ayi al tareyu. Al tigu b'mashichai refers to tinoke shabbos rabban. Uvin v'ayi al tareyu elu tamid hachamim. Don't harm, undermine, speak badly about the children who learn Torah and about the tamid hachamim. That is the drasha of the Gemara. It says Reb Schwab, the Tashbar are the anointed ones. Al tigu b'mashichai. The most important members of Klal Yisrael are young children that have no sin, that spend time learning Torah. They're called Mashichai because every little Talmud has the capacity to be a great God of Yisrael. The Talmid HaChachamim are called Nevi'im. Why are they called Nevi'im? Because they are continuing the Messiah from the father of all the Nevi'im. And they have the capacity to become a prophet. And Hashem is warning the nations of the world, don't touch them, don't harm the Talmid HaChachamim or the Tashbar. So this is basically a statement of gratitude for the past, that God throughout history saved the Jewish people in the land of Israel, rebuked kings from Esav, Lavan, Paroi, Avimelech, and his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch for saving the Talmid HaChacham in all generations, says Reb Schwab, Uvezeh nigmar chelek harishon shel shiras David. This is the conclusion of David's song. Part 1, Shahu oimrim be'ez hakravas hakarban shel shachris, that speaks about the past benefits that God bestowed about the Jewish people. Throughout all the vicissitudes and troubles, God saved us and kept His promise to keep Israel ours. Now, says Rav Avigdor Miller, Davar Tziva Le'elef Dar. What does that mean? A word that He commanded for 1,000 generations. Now, this covenant that God made with us includes many privileges, but it specifically is referring to the covenant of the land. We have to remember forever the eternal kindness that He gave us the land of command, the land of Canaan. He didn't say, He commanded. It's more than He said or He did. Meaning, what does it mean God commanded? Davar tziva le'elef dar. That means He commanded all processes of nature and history to cooperate, that this land will be our land. Why chevel nachalaschem? Chevel implies not just an inheritance, a destined circumstance. That the land of Canaan was destined to belong to us. Because Yaakov is chevel nachalasai, because we are God's destined share, because of our devotion to Hashem, so He gave us the land as our destined estate. Okay, and just a few more thoughts. God rebuked kings for their sakes. He didn't just stop the evildoers, but He demonstrated His love for us by giving prophecy to kings who are not worthy of prophecy for our sake. God even gave an animal prophecy for the sake of Israel. Like in the time of Bilam. God said, Al tigu b'mashichayu v'nvi'ay al tareyo. The Avos and the Banim were God's anointed ones and His prophets. No one was allowed to harm us. Now, why are they called Meshichai? Meshichai means they were assigned to a great function. Just like Koresh, Meshichai doesn't mean Mashiach. It means someone who's assigned for a great function. Koy Omar Hashem l'Meshichai Koresh. Why is Koresh called the Mashiach? Because he was dedicated by the Ribbono Shel for a specific function of rebuilding the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Avos were Meshichai. They were designated and anointed for a specific purpose. And that is, it was their chief goal and their mission in life to establish a nation which would know and serve Hashem. Says the Rambam in the Mar Nevuchim. It was the primary goal of the Avos to establish a nation that should know and serve Hashem. I know him. The pasuk says, Ki yadativ, alamana she yitzave es besa es banav es besa achrov. Lishmar is Darach Hashem, so that they fulfill the purpose of Amzu Yatzar Tali Tilasi Yisaperu. So since this was the chief function and purpose of the life of the Avos, they are considered Meshichim. They were anointed for this great function. V'i Al Tareyu. Now this is a very important idea. God said, don't harm my prophets. Why are the Avos called prophets? Not only because God spoke to them, but Hashem took the words of the Avos and made it prophecy. Because whatever the Avos said and did, Maaseh Avos Simin Labanim, their activities, their actions, their goings, their masim were the physical prophecy of what would occur to us later in our history. As we know, just like the Avos HaKadoshim went from nation to nation, and Hashem didn't allow anyone to harm them, so too we wander from nation to nation. And Hashem frustrates all the plans which the nations make to destroy them. Avram went down to Mitzrayim, we went down to Mitzrayim. Paro tried to take Sarah, but was rebuked by plagues. So Paro tried to co-opt our girls, and Hashem smote Paro with plagues. Avraham left Mitzrayim with great wealth and was accompanied by Hagar. So Hashem had us leave Mitzrayim with great wealth and we were accompanied by the Erev Rav. So the actions of the Avos were literally prophecy and they were designated, anointed, that whatever they would do in life would create and portend to the subsequent history of Klal Yisrael. But Marv Rabbeisai, not only are the Avos Meshichai, anointed ones, but every single Jew is a Mashiach, is anointed. We are designated for a specific function and role, namely, like the Navi Yeshaya says, Atem Eidai Noam Hashem, you are my witnesses. And we are all prophets. Why are we prophets? Because we were chosen to proclaim the word of Hashem to the whole world. So this is something that was said every single morning by the Talmid Shel Shachar, and this is something that we say every single morning, thanking Hashem for saving our Avos HaKadoshim from all challengers, and through that, that was prophecy that we too, throughout our history, are saved from all those who rise up against us. Bez Hashem, next week we'll discuss the next part of Hoidu, which was what was said by the Talmid Shel Bein Arbayim. I want to wish everyone a Agutin Shabbos, Parshas Para, Parshas Kisisa, and almost Chodesh Nisan, Agun Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we said, right. I don't know, but I don't think there were 600,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael.
That's what I was wondering, but now that we, now it is cool to know Eretz Yisrael, and we still have more than 600,000 Jews living there, maybe that's what we're right.
Yeah, and what's very interesting is that I don't believe the majority... more Jews live in Israel today than anywhere else in the world, for the first time in history, for 2,000 years. But soon, you'll have the majority of the Jews in the world living in Israel. And that's very significant, because the Sefer HaChinuch says that when the majority of the Jews in the world live in Eretz Yisrael, you could build the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Okay, everyone, have a good Shabbos. Goyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.